is time. Down the bars
to the bloody end. Let these guys, my beautiful daughter,
half Mexican and Salvi, the perfect girl from Cali.
Man, they love you because you're such a hip-hop head, and they love that. We love that. Everybody loves that.
I'm glad you really get it like that. She's a genius.
Give it up for Letty, please.
How cool that I have the person I have in here. I should do the intro first. What's up, you guys? I'm Letty. One second, let me turn down my applause. With me today, I have my friend Punch. Punch, hi.
What's happening?
Funny that I have Rob on the intro. I know you recognize the
voice. Right.
You guys are friends.
Nah, that's my guy.
So there's this new record, A Room Full of Mirrors, and I just inherently I love posse cuts, but I feel like this is more than just a posse cut because you guys have formed a collective, right?
Right.
So it's similar to seeing like when all of Bone Thugs hopped on a record or when all of Wu-Tang hopped on a record, and that in itself is competitive because you're not just presenting yourself, mm-hmm. you're presenting each in a new way, right? Like you guys are now a together unit.
Right. What's crazy is just how it came about. Like I was finishing my my album. Most of the guys in the collective would just come around while I was finishing up. We'd just sit and talk. And when I was done, we was just in the studio not recording anything for like maybe a few weeks. But it was just like everybody would come and congregate. We talking, laughing. You know, getting to know everybody on a deeper personal level.
Yeah.
So it was just like one day, yo, let's just make a song, see what happened. So from there, like, you know, I started quarterbacking all of the pieces because I didn't want it to be like everybody jumping on doing 32 bar verses.
Right.
I wanted to make a real record, a real song. So I'm like, yo, okay, Lyric, you do 6 bars early, you do the next 2. Daylight, I'm going to come in, and then you come in right after me. Like, it was kind of, you know, mixing and matching.
And then when your part was done, you still came back later, right?
Right.
And that's intentional, like, to make it be like, okay, you got to really pay attention the whole song through.
Nah, exactly. And that's always the fun part to me because it shows the real collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just melding verses or, like, it shows that we really was together and really worked on it. Like, we finishing each other's sentences on it, coming off using the same rhyme pattern, so...
You know, I would talk to Snoop about Two America's Most Wanted, and that's similar. Like, they didn't have the, okay, you have your verse and then the hook and then my verse.
Right.
They were finishing each other's bars, too.
Yeah.
Feels kind of like double dutch. Like, here's where I come in, here's where you come in. And I think that's like an added layer of, I don't know, excitement to the record. So I enjoyed it for that aspect.
Right.
So to your bars, I think the challenge for a rapper to me is like come with something that the listener hasn't heard before as it pertains like to clever bars or things like that.
Right.
So I think you definitely make it a point to come with that type of stuff, right? So when you say like 2 shots to your rooftop, that's like my mind's blown.
What? 2 blocks to your rooftop, mind blown, divine symmetry.
Right.
I love that shit because, okay, let me break it. Well, not even though it's your bar. So like 2 shots pointed up at your rooftop. It's figurative because it's not just like a literal rooftop. It's also your brain.
Right.
And that's why the next bar is like mind blown.
Absolutely.
Is that how you think when you're writing too?
1000%. Yeah. Like my guy early here right now from the collective, like he could tell you, like I stopped the song and be like, yo,
did you hear
this part? And
that's
I say
my
the rap
favorite.
Back, you
yeah.
know what I mean? So yeah, that's absolutely intentional.
Yeah, you know who I heard was like that, Sugar Free, that he would like write a line and be like, oh, this is the best shit I ever wrote, and then run around and then come right back and write another bar, same thing.
That's the joy for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's why I get out of bed to do it.
Yeah.
It's for people like you, you know what I mean, who would actually listen to the words that's being said as opposed to it just being background music.
Right.
Like, I like people who dive in because all of my stuff is super layered for that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, and there's also another one where you say, like, something about a pie, full circle. It was like almost a triple entendre.
Yeah.
Fresh out the Pyrex, get them while they hot. Y'all niggas high yet? I'm back full circle. That was just a pie flex, a dope metaphor for y'all niggas to digest.
Those are my shit. Because it's like, okay, you eat the pie, but also full circle, like a moment in time, but then also an equation, because pie is 3.14, whatever.
Which is the day I was born, 3.14.
Oh my God. It's a quadruple entendre.
And then pie, as far as like, because it was a dope metaphor.
Yeah. Oh,
so like
shit.
Selling pies.
Dog, I didn't even think like that.
Yeah.
What is it? Is a hexagonal entendre?
It's a lot. I'm trying to figure out what it is.
What that you was would like define it as? Yeah.
I don't know.
Because when you wrote it, you must have been like, yo, this shit crazy. Right here, dog. But I think that, and I think also within the people that you brought on, mm-hmm. it's not like you brought people that could be like supporting characters. Each right. of you in your own right mm-hmm. is a standalone dope rapper, right?
Absolutely.
And so you can't hop on a song with like Daylight or Nick Grant, Early, Lyric, mm-hmm. and Itchy Bandan and not have something to say or right. not give it your all.
Nah, 1,000%. And that's the fun part, too, is that everybody are lyricists
mm-hmm.
by trade. Like, they're lyricists first.
Mm.
So to actually get them to make records
yeah.
was the funnest part. And trying to tone some of those verses and bars down a little bit.
Right.
Just so it makes sense with the record. So right. it's not, like, over-rapping.
Yeah.
Because it's been, you know, different groups and different things where it's like, all right. You dope this already, jeez.
Yeah.
Like, I need a chorus. Like, give me something.
Right.
Let me breathe.
Is that tough to tell someone?
It's not difficult because I think everybody, you know, I've been in this business for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And part of a, you know what I mean, a special legacy. So I think it's more so everybody coming around to learn. So they take take my information a bit more easier than it would somebody else who would just say, yo, do this and do that. So it's like, you know. They know it was results that come behind certain things that I said.
Yeah. I'ma jump into a collab you did, and another thing that I love about you is that you're able to super dive into your imagination with concepts.
Yeah.
And so like with the Doc D record, it was on some weird galaxy shit, but you were like, fuck it, I'll rap about it. I really was listening, like, is Punch really going to go there? Because already, like, that camp is definitely, like, into some space shit.
Right.
And you were like, fuck it, let's go. I could do that, too.
What happened was my guy hit me. Are we saying who he really is yet?
I think it's Logic.
Okay.
Like,
yeah,
I think the Doc D Logic persona has been kind of put out there already. So, yeah. So he hit you, like, hey.
My guy hit me, like, yo. Let's do a record. Because we talked about it like years ago. Mm-hmm. Like every time I see him or we online, we always talk about it.
Yeah.
So he was like, I got this idea and this concept. So he just sent me the beat and he told me like the basic concept. Mm-hmm. So I just started asking him questions. So he created this whole world.
Yeah, like
scenario.
The long shit. You added right. that in there to like, yeah. all right, let's go.
Yo, you really be listening. That's
yeah,
crazy.
Like shit that doesn't make sense or isn't in our world. And you're right. like, I got to start rapping that as if it was.
Nah,
yeah.
exactly. And I just loved it. And I sent it back like maybe within 10 hours. Like wrote it on the way home from the studio. And I went back to the studio. I sent it back to him.
Mere mortal dipping in and out of portals, sky dwelling on my wrist. Nigga better keep it cordial. I'm on these foulons. What is you on?
People really need to understand that because it's not just like it's like here rap a verse and I'm pretty sure that can come. It's like you really got to dive into this conceptual world.
Right. So we was on text back and forth. And I'm just asking him questions like, you know what I mean, about Doc D and about,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, the girl
that he's
tripping over and finna destroy all the galaxies
four,
over.
Yeah.
So I'm like just asking questions because I love that stuff too. Like mm-hmm. I'm a nerd at heart. So it was an easy transition for me.
Do you like Star Wars? Do you like that type of a fantasy or like sci-fi or is it just
I love sci-fi. I don't like Star Wars actually.
Mm.
But like the majority of sci-fi, I love it.
Okay.
Like I've been watching the Marvel timeline for the past month.
Love that. Like WandaVision. Have you seen WandaVision?
Absolutely.
So I'm more, my sci-fi is like cute sci-fi.
Right.
Have you ever seen Labyrinth? Not Pan's Labyrinth. Labyrinth with David Bowie.
Yes.
Okay, so like that type of sci-fi is my sci-fi. Have you ever seen Drop Dead Fred?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Absolutely.
Did you ever have an imaginary friend?
I haven't.
Okay, no. I had an imaginary friend. That's why I saw Drop Dead Fred. And then I was like, dog, there needs to be more imaginary friends movies because that's only one.
That's interesting. How long did you have your imaginary friends
forever? She's right here. I'm just kidding. Okay, low-key, I had her when I was little, like probably like 8 to 11.
Okay.
And I think the common misconception, if we're going to get into it, the common misconception is that you have to be lonely to have an imaginary friend. But like, I had my sister, I had friends. I was really like, I was cool in school. Like, I wasn't a loner kid. And then I read in like a Psychology Today article, I'm telling you, I'm getting into this, because I was trying to figure out like what the, like the whole stigma behind imaginary friends was. Mm-hmm. And it's like, some kids have it because their creativity or their imagination levels aren't being met. Yeah. And so they're like, let me create. And so I feel like that was my shit. Like,
that's tight.
And I think maybe that makes good radio personalities. Mm. Or not, I don't know about good, but like your ability to speak into a microphone and not have anyone there.
Right.
That might have been helped by like an imaginary friend.
That's ill. So I never had an imaginary friend. The closest I can think of is when I used to play with toys. Like, I wouldn't play with them the traditional way. Like, I like create real movies with the toys. Like, whatever their original purpose was, like, I recast them as something else.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that might be a thing.
All right, Punch. I know that with A Room Full of Mirrors, you guys have, like, what is it? Is it six? Is it six of y'all?
Nine.
What? Mm-hmm. How do you, like, what's the cap?
It was literally just the people that were around.
Yeah.
That were coming around when I was finishing my album. So it wasn't, like, a count or anything. Like, Daylight and Ichiban, they was working on their project together.
You're not all 10 on this song.
Or all 9 on this song. No, we're missing Billy Marie.
Oh, got it.
She's the only one who wasn't on it.
Okay, got it.
And then another member is a producer. He made the beat.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's low-key like the COVID limit. Your group. Like, we were only allowed at least 10 people.
Yeah, it's tough. I can't get everybody in the studio no more.
Damn. And the actual title name, A Room Full of Mirrors, it comes from?
It was a Jimi Hendrix song. But that's not where it actually came from. It came from me really sitting in there, and I'm looking at everybody, and everybody is a reflection of each other. Because everybody was loners, for one.
Yeah.
And now they're all loners together in this collective. So it's crazy how that worked out.
This feels like some sci-fi shit, like some Avengers shit, dog.
Some stuff. I'm working it out. That's,
I also like your marketing strategy. Get people to go onto the website.
Yeah.
Enter their email to get the video or to get the song.
Yeah.
And I think that that's important because we give so much. Oh, and it's not necessarily not giving it for free, but now you have like a hold of what the audience is, of like how to reach out to them and stuff like that.
Right.
That stuff has to be intentional too. Like, so you can't be an artist today and not also think of like your strategies for like promotion and things like that.
Yeah, that's originally my first time really paying attention and started thinking about it was back maybe 2015. And I was talking to Nipsey. And he was showing me, it was either an app or something he had where everybody was signing up. And he was showing me everybody's email address. So he was saying, well, you could just target your audience from there, like you build your core. And we was having a conversation about it. So that was the initial thought that sparked that idea. So I'm like, we got to create our own world and bring everybody into us.
Yeah.
So it feels like a thing, you know what I mean? It feels like a movement, like you're a part of something.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the whole key.
That makes soldiers out of, they're not just fans.
Right.
They're everything. They operate as a street team.
Yeah.
They operate as like your PR. Like all of that is from that relationship with the listener.
Nah, for real. And then, you know, they say word of mouth is the best form of marketing.
Oh, yeah.
Or promotion, because you're getting it from somebody you actually trust.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to do that more than you would if you see an ad or commercial. Yeah. It's like, Letty told me this song is hard. I'm going to listen to it now.
And I think when people are familiar with Punch, they can be familiar with you in one aspect, but it's like, but you have you heard him rap though? Like, even in that, it's like, I know you know what he did, but have you heard the bars?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I want to touch your socks right now because you said there's a bulge in them all the time, but I'm scared.
It ghetto native, still got a knot in my tube sock, haters.
Yo, you really listen. That's
I do,
crazy.
But I'm also like, oh shit, what does that mean? it's for his wallet, guys. Nothing else.
Right.
But that's like my favorite part because it's understanding that artists. This is how I look at rap, especially with lyricists. I compare it to like an animated movie, and this is weird, but let's say there's like a real life movie. Pick any movie that just has people in it, and I have the camera and I pan. I'm gonna catch whatever I pan to. Whereas in an animated film, everything in the shot, I drew. If there's a little piece of trash on the floor, I drew it. Intentional, right? That's how I feel with rap. It's like every word written is intentional. There's a reason why "and" was there instead of "also." Like, mm-hmm. even those little words, right? So I think to give an artist their proper respect, you have to listen that intently. Why did they write these words? Why is it this word instead of that word, you know? But even, like, how we talked about the pie part. Like, learning that shit, it also shows you, like, there's so many dimensions to something we hear. And we're doing ourselves, like, a disservice by just thinking it's just this one way.
Right.
So, yeah.
And that's the part of the puzzle for me, is to make something make sense to a wide range of people.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hear it on the surface level, it's still dope. Yeah. Just like the other people who will dig and hear something on the third level.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, it makes sense, and it's for everybody.
Yeah, I fucking love it, Punch. And I'm excited for you guys. I'm excited for what you guys got coming.
Let me ask you something, though. Do you write raps?
I tried.
Yeah?
Let me tell you. Can I tell you my little story? I always liked the freestyles over the Dead Presidents beat, right?
Yeah.
So J. Cole has a few, and he calls them, like, Dead Presidents 2, Dead Presidents 3. We know, like, what Hove did, right? And so I'm like, if I were to do a Dead Presidents, what would it be? And so my flip on Dead Presidents would be Dead 4 Presidents, as in, like, it would be the fourth installment of Dead Presidents, but also someone who died chasing dead presidents. And so all of my I did three stories. All of my stories were based off of true life stories that I've seen of people chasing money and it ending up killing them. Mm. And so it got super dark. And then I even recorded it, but then I was just too little fucking pussy.
Where's that?
I'll show it to you one day. I'm so scared.
Definitely wanna hear.
But I promised that I was like, okay, I'm gonna be a storyteller. Cause if I don't know these big ass words or can't say them all cool, I know stories. So that was my thing.
Nah, just the way your mind worked, though. Your mind worked as a lyricist to even break down the bars.
I'll tell you this. I have an older brother. He's 12 years older than I am. So I was like 8 and he was 20. He loved Wu-Tang. And he was always so cool. And I didn't know what it was, but I knew he was listening to it, so I wanted to listen to it.
Yeah.
So I would go, and I remember the first song he was playing, or I remember, is Old Dirty Bastard's Dog Shit, where he's literally talking about shitting on a lawn and fuck this bitch or whatever. My dad heard that, and my dad's super, like, protective Mexican, and he heard his little girl listening to, like, someone talk about dog shit with with his son, and so he banned me. He banned me from listening to rap. So then it kind of became, like, what someone takes from you want more.
Absolutely.
And so anytime we would hang out, he would let me listen to a song, like, in secret. So what I had to do was I had to remember the song so that if I wanted to listen to it later, I could just listen to it in my head. I'm telling you, this fucking little imaginary friend having Mexican chick with fucking I'd have to memorize the bars so then I can rap them to myself later. And so now when I listen to rap, I listen to the bars because I had to remember them so much early.
That's
and I
dope.
Think that's just kind of like how your childhood makes you, I think.
Nah, absolutely.
So now I kind of listen different. Yeah.
That's dope. That was a blessing.
You do a lot of observing.
Yeah,
Punch,
for sure.
Because I definitely see you, like, I see you on Clubhouse, and it's funny because people will try to get you, like, hey, Punch, what do you think? And you're like, I'm just here to listen.
That's
but
my
that's
favorite
important
thing.
Too.
Yeah.
Cause to take it all in, gather your own thoughts, but not necessarily give it out to the world.
No, for sure. Cause I love to learn. So I just be listening to what any and everybody be saying, like, in those forms.
Yeah.
And just seeing if I could pick up something new.
Yeah.
Or something I haven't thought about in a certain way. So that's always been my thing.
Punch, people love you. I don't know anyone that has a bad thing to say about Punch.
It's about respect. Like, I try to show everybody the same respect,
mm-hmm.
no matter who you are. Like, even early on, we was bouncing through these labels in this business. Like, I'm talking with the interns just like I would talk to the CEOs of the company. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's on an even playing field as a human being.
Yeah.
So I just try to stick to that.
Like, I remember being in radio in Palm Springs and then J-Rock coming through like around 2009, I think the one when the van was wrapped.
You was already out there?
Yeah, I was doing weekends out there. So I think J-Rock went for the Basement. It was like a weekend show.
Yeah.
And I was after them. And I would drive out there, do my show, and then drive back because I didn't live out there. So from then, you guys always operated off of just like everyone says hi to whoever's there. Doesn't matter if they're running the boards, if they're the janitor. And then that followed over to when I worked at Power and then like Kendrick started coming in and even just like the concerts that we would have, you would make it a point to like say hi to everyone and see how everyone's doing, you know?
Exactly. I'll tell you a quick story in relation to that. Like, we was in the Warner Brother office one time and Kevin Lyles and Irv Gotti walked in into the office we were at.
Yeah.
And it was his third guy. I didn't know who he was. So Kevin Lyles come up, J-Rock like, hey, what's up? Irv Gotti come up, hey, what's up? Third dude, Jay was like, yo, you was in this movie. And he named like this B movie that nobody ever saw. What Ice-T was in it. And he was like an extra in it.
Yeah.
But Rock was so excited to see him as opposed to these other two dudes who you know exactly who they are. So that's just a testament to like how we always, how we always move.
No, definitely. And I think it's not even, I think sometimes it could feel forced and it wasn't. Because even after that, it was first name basis. It was never for whatever they did. It was for who they were.
Absolutely.
And I think that's important because in this game, sometimes people will fuck with you because of your position. But then other people will fuck with you because you as a person, regardless of the position.
Nah, absolutely.
You know, and you always want to be the latter because the first one, it's like when it's based off position, once you're not in there anymore, no one's going to fuck with you.
Exactly.
And I think that's too, that's important in your aspect because people could very well be like, all right, we fuck with Punch because of the TD affiliation, or we fuck with Punch because it's Punch.
Yeah.
And that's showing and proving with you doing your music and going beyond whatever the president role is.
And you know what? That actually translates into recording the actual music because it's like, I don't want you to just fall in love with a song.
Yeah.
Because once the song is over, then our relationship is over. But if you fall in love with me as a person, then you're going to love everything I'm presenting.
Yeah.
So it's the same principle.
Do you have a favorite L.A. taco spot?
No, but.
Do you like tacos?
I love tacos. Okay. My favorite food. Okay. But it's when I make them at the house.
I was going to say, I barely found out there's a difference. Excuse my ignorance. Between black people tacos and Mexican people tacos.
Absolutely.
What the fuck happened there? Like, what's the difference?
We made it us.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
We took a tradition and made it our own. But, I mean, you got to fry the shell, put the American cheese.
Wow.
The key is the American cheese because it melts. So it's almost like.
So you don't like our cheese? What the fuck, bro? We don't use cheese on our tacos most of the time.
I be going back and forth.
Yeah.
But what I was raised on was melting the cheese on the inside. Then you do the ground beef or the ground turkey.
Damn. I saw a tweet like let's be honest, black tacos are better than Mexican tacos. And I was like, hold on, that's a thing?
Have you ever had one?
Well, I've had hard shell tacos. Where would you buy the tacos you're talking about?
I got to pull up on you and Jorge and cook out some tacos.
Yeah, because it has to be like homemade then, right?
Absolutely.
Because there's no spots that do, or do spots do?
Nah, they don't. Hey, it goes crazy if we open up a food
legit
truck. Sky tacos.
Sky tacos, where at?
You ever had Sky tacos?
No.
It's off of Pico. It's like down the street from the Roscoe's. Huh?
Sky?
Yeah.
S-K-Y?
Yeah.
I need to try that. Is it a truck? Is it a like?
Nah, it's an actual spot.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
But they got all, they got like the filet mignon tacos, the shrimp, salmon tacos, regular chicken, like everything.
Okay, Avenue 26, you need to pull up there.
Avenue 26?
Avenue 26. Okay, let me tell you about that shit. This is Mexican tacos, though, not black tacos. Okay, so Avenue 26 is this spot. There's no address to it because it's a bunch of food vendors. Like, it's a bunch of taco people that pull up. But now, because of COVID, it's brought on so much other shit is closed.
Mm-hmm.
So they really made this spot special where, like, now it's not just, like, taco spots. People are pulling up and, like hamburger spots are pulling up. I think there's a pupusa spot pulling up. Mm-hmm. But then also, like, people are selling clothes. People are selling, like, gadgets. And I think that's what's really cool about that area, though, is, like, you go and it's legit a vibe. Like, if you go and you're gonna just find yourself walking and the food's all bomb. So that's my gift to you. You gave me Sky Tacos, I gave you
Avenue 26. I'm on it.
Oh, wait, I was gonna say this because with Nip, I love how much he embraced the Latino influence in LA, like he would eat everything with like chopped jalapenos, and like the jalapenos are our thing. Right. I don't even like spicy shit like that, but to see him, like he had to have that, and I just thought that was dope. Like I love seeing that, because there's so much shit that divides us, but like I love the shit that connects us too.
But you know what? We got more in common than we don't.
For sure.
You know what I mean? It's just a matter of breaking certain barriers down.
Yeah.
But it's all the same. Like we all have love for where we from. We love our family.
Yeah.
And that's the basis of it.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
The pride's there and the love's there. And yeah. I have a question.
What you got?
I might cut this out. When you go to like Spanish hoods or like Latino hoods, do you feel scared? Because I just found out we're scary. I didn't think you were scary because I'm us, right?
Well, no, definitely I'm scary. But when you from, you know what I mean? When you're from the hood, you kind of know what's what.
Yeah.
So you just kind of be cautious of what's happening. Two, like, L.A. is gangbang culture, too. I mean, that transcends race.
Yeah. Whether you like it or not. Like, you have to. What I always tell people is, like, whether you're a gang member or not, you are living by gang rules.
Even when, like, people come out here and shooting videos and the whole thing, like, you go see who's who. And if you don't know nobody, like, you got to figure out, yo.
Yeah.
Is this cool? Let everybody know we coming. Like, we can help. We can have people do security from the neighborhood or whatever. Like, you gotta play the politics.
So how would someone that, like, doesn't know, how do they find out? Like, they're just going to get, like, a rude awakening if they were to try to.
It's on the job training.
Yeah. Because that's what's, it's not spoken.
Yeah.
It's right. But it's there. Like, it's definitely present.
It only take one time. You learn real quick. You'll figure it out. Like, oh, okay. I need to talk to somebody before I come over here.
Yeah. Even if you say, like, when hoods from L.A. have, like, moved on to other parts of the country, it's still different when you're here. Like,
oh, yeah.
I'm going to get off this real quick because I'm getting scared. But, like, being, like, a Crip in New York is different than being a Crip in L.A. Like, it's definitely different, like...
Yeah, for sure.
...protocols and rules and laws and shit.
Yeah, because this is a thing that you... out here, you born into it. From infancy to adulthood.
Yeah.
Like, you're immersed in this culture, so...
Yeah.
That's a difference. Like in other states, they just picked it up.
You can't opt in here or opt out.
Nah, it is what it is. It's part of life. It's culture.
Yeah. And so that's where the bulge in the sock line comes in. Bam, 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 bam. Full circle pie.
Yeah.
Equation.
Right. Absolutely.
Punch's birthday.
That's okay.
I know I'm corny, but like.
Nah, it's dope. I love it.
Oh, I have one more question. Promise it's not crazy. I know a lot of people ask, who's the next rapper you think is gonna be hot or whatever, but like when it comes to like people doing the behind the scenes stuff, do you see anyone that you can show love to, like, oh, I like the way they're running that camp or that artist?
Wow, that's and a good question. I never thought about it that way. This is kid Jermaine, they call him Maine. He's from New York. I think he's in Atlanta right now, but I met him years ago on Kanye to the
On the forum?
Yeah, on the forum.
Oh, shit.
And he would just always, like, hit me and reach out and ask questions and this whole thing. Now he's A&R in different projects. So I could see him, you know what I mean, doing a lot. That's one of the guys. It's a few people, though.
That's dope. I love that. Thank you so much, Punch, for coming in.
Man.
I have a weird anxiety. Like, if we were to go to a party and we were to leave, I wouldn't say bye. I would just leave. Like, and I know that can be rude. But it's probably my anxiety. Like, I don't want to say bye. So
that's my thing, too. I call it an Irish goodbye.
Is that how they say bye? They just dip?
Yeah.
Okay, so talk to you guys later.